Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I hope that everyone is having an awesome morning here on Thursday, the 26th of May. We're heading into a holiday weekend, and I hope that the people that are traveling are safe. I hope that, I hope they're about to take a minute or two before they enter their vehicle or the airport and just pray for safety. Anyway, my name is Tony Gambone. I am here every Thursday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network, and Tough Talk Christian Radio is a show that's been airing now for 2 years. And what I find interesting is every week I'm able to share what's going on in my world and allow others to share what's going on in their world that is being, well, led by Christ. And, you know, sometimes we intend to let Christ lead us, but we're not very good at it. If we're talking about me, I could say a lot of times. But, you know, rolling into holiday weekend, rolling into the summer coming in, kids are out of school, things are taking place, our whole life shifts a little bit, right? I mean, we go from children schedule in school, our work schedule, our family schedule, to now having children home from school, which there's changes in place. And a lot of times, I know for myself, changes are not easy to adapt to right away. So you have to prepare, kind of like trying to make changes in your daily life to follow the Lord's steps. Same thing, right? It's a continuing work, say the least. So I want to talk to the people today about a couple of things. One is I find it interesting that as we take our walk with the Lord, as we go through our daily day, and I always like to use myself as an example because I don't want to insult anyone or call anyone out on things. But, you know, every day when you get up or when I get up, I try to spend my time with the Lord and my Bible. Some days I feel like I'm doing it just because I have to. Some days I feel like I'm doing it because I want to. Some days I feel like I get something out of it, and some days I don't. I just know that if I don't do it, I have something in the back of my mind that's going to say things aren't going to be right. So maybe out of fear, I try to do it. But then there's those days where you just think that you're asking for so much help and, you know, for so many questions and so many answers, and you just feel like, well, maybe I'm just not doing it right. What do you think about those types of things? What do you do when you have quiet time? Who do you talk to? What do you think of? How does it make you feel? Does it last more than 10 minutes? Are you able to direct your day better if you spend time with the Lord in the morning? Maybe it's in the evening. You know, we all have different schedules. I'm blessed that my children are grown and out of the house, so I don't have that early morning routine that some people do with children. But I know one thing. Conclusion is that every day we're exactly where we're supposed to be because of the choices that we make. Now, I know that's kind of hard to accept because most of us are not where we want to be, and most of us do not want to admit to the fault of the things that we have not done or some of the choices that we did or did not make correctly. So it's an ongoing struggle, and thank God that you read in the Bible that we're made that way. We're made as imperfect humans, and we're made not to get it right every day. There was only one person like that, and that was Jesus. So that's not an excuse not to try your hardest every day, but it is a little bit satisfying as an individual to know that the reason why you're not hitting the mark 110% is because, well, you just don't have that ability. So for me, I like to make sure that I'm trying to do the best I can with what I have. But I don't always feel as though I'm aiming high enough or reaching hard enough or stepping fast enough to stay up with it. So it's a personal struggle. And that's why I spend my time talking to the Lord, asking for help and different things. Have you noticed, though, in our lives, when things don't go right, we seem to ask, pray harder, ask more, spend more time with the Lord. When things are going good, we just seem to roll along like it's all good. And then sometimes, you know, you wake up and things aren't what you thought they were. So I start thinking, is it because of the choices that I made last month, last year, 20 years ago? I think it is. I can't correct that. All I can do is move forward and know that the Lord has forgiven me for the mistakes I've made, for the things I've done wrong. I need to forgive myself and not use it as an excuse. And I need to build the process to gain access to better choices. So what does that mean exactly? How do you gain access to better choices? For me, it's education. I need to educate myself. Now, you know, you can watch documentaries, you can go to college, you can read books, you can do a lot of things. But when it comes to the Lord, there's one reference point that you can go to, and that's your Bible. And as I read the Bible, I don't understand what the message is. And that's okay. Because as long as I stay in the Word will show up. So it's really important for people to stay in their Bible and stay in it with an open mind and study it. Spend time in it. If you don't do it at all, try 10 minutes a week. If you do it 10 minutes a week, try it 3 days a week. Increase it until it gets to a point where you wake up and it's automatic. It's a new habit because it's the best habit you can create. So anyway, we had a great show lined up here. We always do. I mean, God has blessed me with the opportunity to be on the show week after week. You know, I've been doing radio for a little over 7 years now. It's not what I set out to do, but I think that it's what I am supposed to do. Maybe it's just me being selfish, or maybe it's the truth. We've got two guests today, a gentleman by the name of Eric Wilson, who is, he's one of the co-authors of my latest book, Share Your Message with the World, Volume 2, and he is someone that is helping people with insurance. Okay, you know, choices, right? What kind of choices are we making? I know for me, I have been diagnosed with a disease at the age of 19. I'll be 60 this year, maybe next month, I believe it is. And the thing of it is there was things that were available I didn't take advantage of, and now I can't take advantage of. Was it the choices I made? Was it the situation I was placed in? Could I blame it on, well, they don't do it because of this or that? Maybe. Is it legit? No. So we're going to learn more about health insurance, because it's a crazy field. So sometimes if you can sit down and speak to an expert, they can decipher what you don't understand or what you think you do understand. So real excited about that, having Eric on the show today. My second guest is a gentleman by the name of Miles Anthony Smith, who is a cereal specialist. He's an executive leadership coach, and he has, well, he's done a lot of things as well to help an organization called Rawhide Boys Ranch. And so we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to bring up Eric. We're going to talk about, you know, some faith-based values as a Christian, and insurance, and how that ties together. We also want to let you know that you can find us on Facebook, Tough Talk Radio Network, or go to my page, Tony Gambone. We'd love for you to like us, connect with us, and be a part of us. You could also find us on Twitter under TTR Network or Tony Gambone. You can find us on any of the social media sites by typing in Tough Talk Radio Network or Tony Gambone. You can be a guest on the show by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com, or you can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and see the other shows available for you to come on and spotlight what you're doing out there in the world. We're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to bring up Eric Wilson. Stay tuned.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Wednesdays at 10:30 Central Time, tune in to Workshop Wednesdays with your host, Tony Gambone. Tony speaks with small business owners, entrepreneurs, authors, and experts who share their stories of success. The best way to find success is to listen to the successful and use their experiences to find your own success. That's what Workshop Wednesdays is all about. To learn more and listen to the show, visit workshop-wednesdays.com. Workshop Wednesdays, Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Central.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm excited about today's show, especially my first guest. You know, he's a friend, and I've interviewed Eric a while back, and we've built a relationship through radio, through the internet, and then all the way into co-authoring a book together. So I want to waste no time and bring up my buddy Eric Wilson. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be here. How are you?
I am doing great, sir, and I'm so excited to have you on the show. I know that being in the insurance world, you have been probably busier in the last 8 months than you have in most of your career for that length of time. So we're going to get into all that there. I want people to know a little bit about you, Eric. I know that if they go to share your message with the World Volume 2 on Amazon, they can find a book that they can purchase, or they could get the book directly from you as well. And we're going to get into all that information here in a little bit. But let's tell people a little bit about Eric. Where are you calling in from, and where are you from originally?
I'm calling in from the Chicago area. I live in a Chicago suburb. Grew up in a town called Pennsville, New Jersey, which is probably 30 minutes outside of Philadelphia. Moved from New Jersey to went to college in Maryland, and had a brief little stint in Columbus, Ohio, to Chicago.
And you've been in the insurance world how long?
12 years. Well, let me rephrase that. I've been selling insurance products for 12 years. I've kind of always been in the insurance world. My earlier jobs, I was a sales rep who I sold products to insurance companies. So I was kind of in the insurance business kind of indirectly, for a decade before that.
So, you know, Eric, when people say insurance, some people duck, go the other way. Some people pretend they didn't hear. We never seem to really care about insurance until we're sick. Just kind of like we never really care about praying too much unless we really need something. So take me down that road on you know, what you see from people who don't insure themselves properly, and then we'll get into why.
Well, you know, there's a few things. You know, I mean, insurance is kind of, in a way, it's like a game. You know, you beat insurance or insurance beats you. You don't want to be underinsured, but you certainly don't need to be overinsured either. So when I go through the process, you know, especially with the younger people, they say, "Well, I don't get sick, I don't need insurance." Well, in reality, nobody needs insurance for the smaller things, and that's where health insurance has always been different than, you know, say your auto insurance. Your auto insurance doesn't pay for an oil change, yet your health insurance kind of always has, and that's kind of, you know, if you figure a doctor visit being a copay, whereas you know, no, we can all afford a $100 copay or a $100 doctor visit or $200 doctor visit. What we can't afford is, God forbid, we get hit by a bus and, you know, and or anything else, and our charges are, you know, $250,000. That's where we get into trouble. So that's where you need to be, you know, protect your assets from. You know, you got to look at health insurance more as an asset protection type thing than a commodity, so to speak.
But a lot of people say, you know, they're 30 years old, they're healthy, they don't need it. What's the difference between getting it at a younger age than it is getting it when you have a illness or you're at an older age?
Well, it's a little different now than it used to be. You know, pre-Obamacare, there was underwriting, and you could always qualify when you were younger. And there's still some products out there that we'll talk about, you know, hopefully later today in the show, that you can get while you're healthy and that are underwritten. Under the Affordable Care Act now, you know, there's no more underwriting, but you can only buy that certain times of the year. So if you miss the open enrollment period from November to March, and you choose to go without, and then you get sick in, you know, June, you can't. There's nothing you can do for 6 months. So it's, you know, it's always better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Even if you had, you know, the most of catastrophic plans, you know, you have some coverage.
Now, I don't want to open up a big can of worms, but we know that when the Obamacare thing came out, everybody was up in arms. You don't hear as much about it now, but I think people are still up in arms. How is that? Is it settling down? Are people used to it? I mean, I remember them saying in the beginning that when they first did Social Security, everybody was freaking out, and then it became automatic. Do you think the same has taken place with insurance like this, with Obamacare?
No, because the one thing the Affordable Care Act never did was the cost of medical care. And, you know, and unfortunately, people say health care is health insurance. And in reality, health care is the care you get from the doctor or the hospital or a medical professional. And health insurance is what helps you pay for that care. And while the Affordable Care Act helped more people get health insurance, it did nothing to address the cost of health care. And health insurance premiums are a derivative of the cost of care. And now you see, you know, the prescription industry is very high. You know, insulin has skyrocketed in the last few years, the cost of that. So, you know, the medications cost more. You know, medical care in this country is better than other countries, regardless of what people say. So, you know, cost of care costs more than it does in other countries. So insurance costs more. And now under the law, when you're insuring everyone, you know, the healthy kind of have to pay for the sick, so the cost has to cost more, and still not enough of the younger people are participating in the program. Therefore, there's more sicker people than healthier people. Therefore, costs are continuing to go up.
So, Eric, you know, when you gave me a holler and said, "Hey, Tony, I want to come on the show and you know, I want to talk about insurance," I was like, okay, but, you know, it's a Christian radio show, and you said, yeah, I know that. I want to come on, and I want to talk about alternative-based, you know, Obamacare, offering Obamacare alternative-based on Christian faith-based values. Can you explain
that? Yes. Well, you know, the problem many Americans have with the Affordable Care Act is there is a challenge between their spiritual belief and their moral belief. You know, all ACA plans now, you know, have, you know, voluntary sterilization and abortion coverage built into the plan. So many people have had issues with that. You saw the Hobby Lobby case, you know, not too long ago, where Hobby Lobby didn't want to provide, you know, contraceptive in their plans. You have the Little Sisters of the Poor cases going on now, where the same thing. Well, companies can sue and you know, possibly get out of this. The actual individual isn't so lucky. So what some friends of mine have done, they came up with what we call the pro-life health plan. And the pro-life health plan, there is no funding for sterilization or abortion or a lot of the moral objections that we have. So you can, if you have any kind of reason that you choose to opt out, you know, the pro-life health plan kind of incorporates a lot of the spiritual beliefs, but we kind of incorporate two plans. One is a strong insurance plan that's not ACA compliant, but has a lot of good insurance benefits, and you can go to any doctor, any hospital. It also incorporates membership in a Christian health share ministry. One of the ways to be exempt under the law, or there are several ways to be exempt from the penalty or the tax under the Affordable Care Act, is the IRS publication 5187, which spells out the exemptions. One is to, you know, if you're a member of an Indian tribe, you can become exempt. Another one is to be in, a member of a Christian health share ministry. So there's your you know, ticket out of the penalty box, so to speak. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of gaps in some Christian ministry plans. So we tied insurance product to it to give you some of those protections that you need and guarantees.
Let me solve the gaps. Now, explain to our audience about the ACA. What is that?
The ACA, the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as known. That is the law of the land that, that requires everyone to have health insurance, and you have to have what they call to qualify, to be exempt from penalty, you have to have what's called a qualified health plan, which all the ACA plans are kind of the same, and they all have to have maternity coverage and there's, you know, and contraceptive coverage and funding for abortions, a lot of those other things that people are opposed to. And if you choose to go outside that, there's only a handful of ways to be exempt, which I was discussing a few moments ago.
Yeah, right. Okay, I just I always like when there's initials. I like for people to explain what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Simple to understand. It's usually the hardest to comprehend. So since you've done this new sort of program, so this is something that you guys created? Is this something that other insurance organizations use? Is this a thing across the country universally? How is that?
Well, you know, the Christian health share ministry portions have been around since, you know, the 80s. And these other type of plans have been around for just as long as that. But, you know, there was one and the other, and it was kind of like there's gaps in this plan, there's gaps in that plan, but you put them together, and now they're tight. You know, one of the downsides to, and this is not a universal rule, but a lot of the Christian health share ministry plans only cover $125,000 worth of, you know, per claim. Well, if you need brain surgery, that's going to cost, you know, $250,000. You know, so that's not enough coverage. One of the problems with some of the indemnity type plans or some of the limited plans or what they called, used to, Obama referred to as junk plans, is that they put a fixed gap on certain services. So you know, you buy one without the other, there are some gaps. But you put the two together and, you know, one company fills the other's gaps and they blend together very nicely. And it's a very new concept. Probably been, you know, combining the two products have probably been around for about a year.
Okay. And so since you created this opportunity, I mean, I know with the insurance business right now, you probably don't need any help staying busy, but how do you think this has increased the opportunity for people to get insurance based on, or not get insurance, based on, you know, what it was before? What kind of help is this to the individuals? I know there's a penalty thing, and sometimes the penalty is less than what it will cost you, so people opt in different things. But what's the main, the one solid thing from doing this that people can benefit from the most?
Well, that's true. You know, obviously you have the spiritual and moral side of things, which is a huge benefit for many people because it doesn't fund, you know, the abortion and those type of things. So on the spiritual and moral side, that's number one. On the other side, for the people who have, you know, health insurance that don't get the subsidy from the government because their income is too high or too low, for that matter, to qualify for a subsidy, these plans, because they don't have all the mandates or all the requirements of the Affordable Care Act, oftentimes the pricing is several hundred dollars less per month in premium to do it this way. I have a client in the state of Ohio who his Affordable Care Act plan went from had gone from $1,000 over to like $1,250 for him and his wife a month, and we were able to do a pro-life health plan for about $700. So he was, you know, he was thrilled. I have a client out here. I just took care of her. Her Affordable Care Act plan was over $600 a month. We did this for $275. So it was, you know, it's a nice opportunity for those people to see these type plans, and you know, and they're not for everybody. There is some underwriting on these plans, and there's limit, and some of the prescription coverage is not as great. So if you're on a lot of medications, these aren't right for you. If you have a lot of medical conditions, they may not be right for you. If you're quite healthy, non-smoker, you know, and all, not too many medications, it's definitely something you want to look at.
So it's really necessary to sit down with someone like yourself to have this conversation, to understand all the different things involved so you can make the right choice. Once you make a
Absolutely.
Choice, you can't, if I'm understanding this right, you can't make a change for a period of time. So you're kind of stuck in whatever it is you're doing. Is that correct?
That's correct. Well, if you're purchasing an Affordable Care Act plan, you know, you can't change outside of open enrollment, so you're stuck with that plan for the entire year. So from January till the following January or the following open enrollment. Now, this pro-life plan is an option that can be done because it's kind of outside the scope of Obamacare. You can do this year round, but if you jump off of it, you're still outside of open enrollment, so you may not be able to get something. You may not be able to get a qualified health plan at that point. So yes, you know, it does require a conversation, and you know with me or any good insurance broker, I guess. And just, you know, let them, you know, understand your situation, the situation that you may be in, whether it be your financial side of it, your health side of it, maybe both, and determine which plan is right for you.
Okay, so
another, you know, and another big thing too is doctors, because under the Affordable Care Act, a lot of doctors and networks have been tightened. So, you know, a lot of times the whole if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor is not exactly true, because most people can't keep their doctor anymore. They've had to find new doctors. So that's another big piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. I mean, you know, I have I have that problem. If I change, you know, my insurance, I got to go through this whole thing. And, you know, it's not just one doctor. It's every doctor you have. If they're not in your network, it's almost you don't want to change just because of all the steps that you got to go through and all the retesting and all the different things. And, I mean, it really is a major pain in the butt. I remember in the beginning, I found someone here that I know that's in insurance, and you know, I quizzed them a lot to help me make sure that once I did this, because after a whole year of going to the doctor, if you got to change, that's like, holy cow. I mean, what do you do? So it's a really important issue, I think, is to make sure that you find someone that can show you a way to look at every different aspect of what it is you're going to be doing. And in the beginning, I talked about choices that we make, and it's really important to understand that when you sit down with your insurance person and you're being advised to know why, you know, the good, bad, and from it, and make an educated decision from it. Now, a lot of times, you know, my question to a doctor, an insurance agent, or, you know, someone I'm buying a car from at a car lot, what would you do if it was you? So if this was me coming to you for advice, I would say to you, what would you do if you were me in this situation? How would you advise someone like that, or do you even do that?
Oh, well, yeah, what I have to do in every situation, because everyone's in a different place, whether it be, you know, financially, health-wise. So, you know, you need a conversation with everybody to find out where they are, what their needs are, you know, if, you know, what kind of medications you are and who your doctors are. And, you know, you find out, one, what medications are covered by this plan or that plan or whichever plan there is. And then your doctor, you know, every insurance company subscribes to a different network of doctors. So if you have one doctor, it's easier. If you have seven doctors or five doctors, that's a little bit more complicated. I'm dealing with one client right now where her cardiologist, you know, all of her doctors are in the Blue Cross network except her cardiologist. Her cardiologist is in the United Healthcare network, but her other doctors are not. So we're trying to find, we've been through about seven companies now, and we're having trouble finding, you know, a company that where all of her doctors accept. So that puts us in a bind there as to, is your cardiologist more important than your general practitioner, or is your general practitioner more important than your cardiologist? Is it, how hard is it to find a different cardiologist in network, or is it easier to find a new general practitioner? And, I think we're going to keep the cardiologist and lose the general practitioner, I believe, because that seems like it makes more sense in my opinion. But she's had the same family practitioner for, 20 years as well. So, it's a tough decision for her, and so we just have to keep diving into it. And these are decisions that people, if you don't know what questions to ask, when you just go online to buy insurance, you don't think of these things. You don't think of, well, I wonder if my doctor's in the network, or, well, it's Blue Cross, so he must be in the network. And now Blue Cross has a smaller network in a lot of places. And, in Texas, they only do HMOs now. There's no more PPOs down in that neck of the woods for insurance companies, so a lot of doctors don't accept it. In Illinois, out by Chicago, University of Chicago Hospital, the best hospital, has stopped dealing with a lot of Blue Cross plans. So, it's a vicious cycle. So you have to really talk to someone who can, give you, knows what questions to ask you.
Well, Eric, time goes fast on the show, and I know that insurance is a big issue. A lot of us, as I mentioned, don't really pay attention to it until we need it. It's kind of like Christ, right? But I want to ask one more question. I want to talk about your book real quickly too. You are in Chicago. I believe it's Romeoville.
Yes.
So okay. And
yes, correct.
If someone is in California or in Pennsylvania, can they do business with you, or do they have to be in the Illinois state?
No, I'm licensed in multiple states for products, and there's some products I can do in every state. So, and I can always give the advice either way. And in the states that I don't, I did do a product like this, a Christian plan in California, to one of my clients. I have another people in Pennsylvania as well that I run these kind of plans through. So I can normally help, and if there's a state that I can't help you with, I can find someone who can help you. But, my website gives a lot of information as well at iSellHealth.com, so you can you can usually find me there as well.
And so you have iSellHealth.com, you have ProLifeHealthPlan.com, and people can contact you by going to iSellHealth@gmail.com to talk to you, set up time to talk to you. I want to talk about the opportunity that you and I did together, where you wrote a chapter in a book that tells people about your journey in life. And we know that you're an insurance guy. You're committed to that. You're committed to helping people. But if people want to know more about you, there's a chapter that you wrote in Share Your Message with the World, Volume 2, called Sometimes You Just Need a Little Push. I'm a big advocate of knowing more about the individual. And we both know that, as an insurance agent, you'll develop clients that stay with you for years, just like that lady with the same doctor for 20 years. You build a relationship. How can people purchase the book from you so that they can learn more about you?
They can go to sometimesyoujustneedalittlepush.com.
That's easy enough. Sometimesyoujustneedalittlepush.com. Purchase your book. And, I know that in your area, there's got to be opportunity for you to go out and speak to people about these different things. Maybe it's the church. Maybe it is, local businesses that have 10 employees or less, or maybe it's just a business networking group. How can people – do you do that? Will you go out and speak to those different groups?
Oh, sure. I've done a great number of, I would say a great number, but a fair number of speaking engagements, in various states on various topics, whether it be a health savings account or health insurance in general, or pro-life health plans, those type things. I've done many of them and love to do it.
Very good. Very good. So, Eric, I appreciate your time with us today, and I'm really thankful that you've taken another spin on just what insurance is about and taking it to a Christian faith as well. I think that, it's not a marketing tool, but I think it's an opportunity to get people to understand that there's more to insurance than what we think it is. Just, because most of us, myself included, don't understand all the different ins and outs of insurance. And in today's world, I think that you know, you need help, or otherwise you're just going to think it's something that you have to have, and it's almost like legalized protection. We know that the doctors aren't a big fan of it. We know that the patients aren't a big fan of it. But at the end of the day, we know without it, we're in trouble. So to have someone with your knowledge to help others understand the value of it, the ins and outs of it, and how to capitalize from it is the important issue. So I want to say thank you for doing that for the people.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it, Tony.
All right, buddy. We're up against the clock, so make sure that if you want to get in touch with Eric, it's isellhealth@gmail.com, or you can go to isellhealth.com, or you can go to Pro Life Health Plan, or you can go to Sometimes You Just Need a Little Push.com and pick up his book. Eric, we appreciate you. Man, we look forward to the next venture, and we'll have you back on the show.
That'd be great, Tony. Have a great day.
All right, you too, pal. We're going to take a short break and come back with Miles Anthony Smith, who, well, he's in the leadership positions, okay? He, you know, there's questions like when you hear leadership, you think, oh, another coach. But when I start looking at what Miles is doing, I learned something a little different. This is a little different. And I want to make sure that you stay tuned and come back and listen in, because this is something that you're going to enjoy, I believe. So we'll be right back after this here short break.
Join Shalonda, Norman, and Kaneen Morgan every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network for Writers Nation Radio. Writers Nation's mission is to provide a trusted source of information, a dynamic network of writing experts, and writing entertainment for curious and thoughtful writers and authors. Learn more by going to WritersNationRadio.com. Writers Nation Radio, showcasing writers and helping them soar.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, and if you just tuned in to us, missed an incredible interview with Eric Wilson. To learn more about Eric, you can go to isellhealth.com or to prolifehealth.com, prolifehealthplan.com, excuse me. Anyway, if you're having any questions for Eric, you can always email him at isellhealth@gmail.com. And if you want to pick up his book, you can go to Sometimes You Just Need a Little Push.com. Okay, so my next guest is a gentleman by the name of Miles Anthony Smith, and as I mentioned, he talks about leadership, and he has authored a book called Why Leadership Sucks, and I want to learn more about that. So, without wasting any time, Miles, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony, for having me on your show today on Tough Talk Radio. I'm very glad to be here, and happy to share why leadership sucks.
Very good. I really want to get to that there in a second, but let me find out a couple of questions from you so that the audience can know a little bit more about Miles Anthony Smith. Where are you calling in from, and where are you from originally?
I'm based out of Green Bay, Wisconsin currently, and I grew up most of my life in Oklahoma. Actually, I was born in Indiana, so I'm a Hoosier by birth, and a little time in San Antonio, Texas as a child, and then when I was 6, we moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, lived there most of my life, found my wife there, had all three of our children there, and then about 7.5 years ago, we moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and it's certainly better during the summer months, a lot more mild, not as humid, but the winter months are certainly rougher.
Yeah, there was a big change there. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm in Houston, Texas, so winter here is 40 degrees. Anyway, so
it's 40 below up here.
I grew up in the Philadelphia area, and you know, I often ask my father why his family decided to settle in such, you know, an area like this here. But leadership sucks. Why it sucks, and so I want to find out. Let's take a roll down your past. What brought you to? I mean, I know you have a degree in music and a master's in business, and so take us to where one day you decided, you know, that you're going to talk about why leadership sucks.
Well, I'll start with, you know, you touched a bit on the bachelor's degree in music and master's degree in business administration. You know, I've had a variety of interests throughout my life. One of them has always, or I shouldn't get poisoned, but has mostly been leadership. I was able to have an opportunity at a young age given to me by my father to start in leadership at a young age and kind of learn through somewhat through the school of hard knocks. As well as I had other mentors that helped me through that process. But, it's certainly challenging, I think, for anyone who is new to a leadership position. You know, you can be younger, but you can also be older and starting in a new, in a leadership role where you haven't had one of those before. And making that transition from someone who's, you know, doing a task or tasks to someone who's leading other people to do either some of those same tasks or different tasks, that's a challenging transition because what prepared you to be a really good producer yourself to do your own work is those skills are vastly different from leading a team of people, not only telling them what to do, but getting them to want to follow you so that you're not just relying on your positional power, which is, you got to do this because I said so. And sometimes you need to rely on that. At times you have to, you are in a position of authority and you need to use that. But that needs to be used much less and more building trust and influence with those people so that they want to follow you. Using that latter method will get people to do much more, be much more productive and enjoy doing what they're doing than if you don't use that method.
So, I know that, you know, I've had some leadership positions, and, you know, I know that as Christians, all of us men are leaders or supposed to be leaders of our own family. And I often talk about being a leader has nothing to do with being in charge. It has everything to do with showing example. And how does that fit in, or does it?
Absolutely. I mean, we as leaders should be leading by example. And I use a great analogy is as parents. I'm a parent. I have three children that are 8, 11, 13. And that, you know, that older one's certainly well into those teenage years already. So that's a challenging age. But I don't know if you have any children. And I haven't fully been through all those teenage years, so I recognize that it's probably going to get harder. But back to my point, you know, with leadership, you know, as you're leading people, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. What was your question again?
So leading by example, being a leader. So let's take it to either a family, a man as his family, or a man in his position at work. Or a solopreneur, or an entrepreneur who is leading his company as well. You know, a lot of times we take the word leader and say we're in charge. And so that means what I say goes versus leader. We need to lead by example so that the people we're trying to lead will follow us.
Sure. And what I was, my thought process was with bringing up the children analogy was, it's one thing for me to say as a father, you know, do this because I said so. And again, sometimes you need to use that, but that is should be used less. And really it should be leading through what we do, and then they see what we do, and they want to emulate that. And it's another thing to say, well, do this, but I do something differently. So I can say, well, you know, don't lie, don't cheat, yet I as a parent go out and do that very thing. It's the same in the workplace. Not that employees are children at all. I'm not making that statement, but it's a very similar structure in that as leaders, we need to make sure that what we do lines up exactly with what we say, because people see that, they notice that, and if we think we're fooling them, we're only fooling ourselves. We're not fooling anybody else, and it's not easy. We are going to make mistakes as leaders. We're not going to be perfect, but that's where, again, I think it's an opportunity for us to humble ourselves and say, hey, I made a mistake in this area. You know what? I should have done this differently, and I didn't. And a lot of people say, well, am I going to lose face, you know, with my staff if I do that? I think it's just the opposite. They will trust and respect you much more if you are willing to lower yourself and lower your pride once in a while and say, hey, I made a mistake here. I didn't, my actions weren't lining up with what I said and the values and culture that we expect and that I expect from you in this organization. So if we're not living that daily, whether it's in work or with our families, it's not going to stick.
So I have some questions here, and one of the questions says, why does faith and life in Christ seem harder than without him? It says that you thought things are supposed to be easier with God. And I know that a lot of times, you know, if just because you have faith and, you know, you love the Lord, doesn't mean life's just like, you know, fresh-smelling flowers and, you know, just happy, warm, and giggly, right? Can you address that?
Yeah, it's the same in Christian life as it is in leadership. You know, as leaders, frankly, it is harder, and that's one of the themes of my book, Why Leadership Sucks, is recognizing, understanding, and not just resigning yourself to the fact, but embracing the fact that this is a hard journey. Whether you're choosing to lead, it's much harder than if you don't choose to lead. If you're a follower of Christ, it is much harder. One of the promises of God from Scripture is that you will have trouble in this life. And a lot of people, you know, we tend to gloss over those kinds of scriptures. We don't like to talk about those. Now, it does follow up with, but you will overcome. And I think too often we sell either leadership or Christianity as something that is easier. I was going to say better, but I don't want to say that because it is better. This path of following Christ or choosing to be a leader is worth it. It's worth it if you do it well, but it is a challenge, and at times it is a burden. It's not always easy. It's not, you know, even coming to Christ and choosing, you know, I'm choosing to follow Christ, making that decision means that my life is going to be more joyful, but that doesn't mean an absence of pain or an absence of challenges. In fact, I believe that it will mean more challenges because it comes part and parcel with our life. If we're truly following Christ and are trying to every single day with his help, or we're trying to be an authentic leader, again, with his help, there's going to be more challenges. It's because that's the process of refining us and making us more sanctified, more like Christ. And that, to me, it's not discouraging. I think too often we don't want to talk about this element because we're afraid of, you know, steering people away from Christ or even from leadership. You know, we'd rather just kind of whitewash it and make it all look good. But yet, if you talk about those challenges, I believe it will draw people because there's more depth there. going through those challenges and working through those, again, with Christ's help, it deepens who I am as a person and the ability that I have to lead others more effectively and share with them the struggles and challenges that I've been through.
Yeah. So do you feel as though being a one of the qualifications of being a good leader is transparency?
Absolutely. And this is hard for leaders because as leaders, it takes a certain level of ego to be a leader. There's no question about it, and I don't deny that at all. But it's choosing as a leader to have that ego under control, under harness, and bridled so that it can be effective in what it does. Because too often leaders use that ego to get what they want, to run people over. Now, that doesn't mean servant leaders are weak leaders or they just let people do whatever they want to do. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But having a strength in meekness, not weakness, is actually more strong than this brash, braggadocious, you know, run everybody over kind of ego that a lot of leaders have. Because it takes more to harness that ego and to, at times, set it aside for the good of the team or to apologize for something they shouldn't have done as a leader or they should have done differently or how they handled the situation. Maybe they made an assumption about what somebody was doing that was completely wrong or, you know, they were overbearing about a deadline or something and they didn't take into account other factors that this other person was dealing with when setting that timeline. So, you know, there certainly is a tension there because as leaders, we need to drive things forward. Again, it's not that we can just allow people to do whatever they want. That is not what servant leadership is about. But there's a tension between pushing things forward and as you say, being transparent and being understanding.
Right. Right. And one of the things is, you know, being a good Christian, being a good leader, being a Christian-minded leader doesn't mean that you're a doormat. You know, even Jesus, you know, stood up for what was right from time to time as well. And so there's a fine line there. And then you have the other side of the coin. Okay, you have the guys like myself who found the Lord, you know, six years ago, and I'll be 60. So all those years, my mindset was that your title represents who you are, you know, and as a man, you know, you strive to be that, you know, that person, that title, so you're recognized and you have worth. And none of that's even close to true, you know what I mean? So how do you work with people to explain that to them?
Well, let me touch on a point you talked about, and then I'll answer that question, because I think it's really important. And it goes to the heart of both men and women, but I think a little bit more men than women struggle with identifying who they are as their job or their work or some other role. Sometimes it can be as a father, but usually it's their role at work and specifically whatever specialty that they, you know, that they're in or whatever industry that they're in. And if they lose their job or something changes in that industry or business and now their skills are outdated, they really struggle. And I've been through this myself. Not that my skills got outdated, but I was at a company for, I believe it was 5 months in total, and it just didn't work out. And it was very tough on me as a person to disassociate who I am and my worth from that position and the fact that situation didn't work out as far as my employment goes. And I was out of a job, I'm the primary breadwinner in my family, I have a wife and three kids, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Now, I did a lot of praying, but it was tough. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say it wasn't. It was very tough. It was tough on my ego. But through that process, I begin to recognize because I lived it and I walked through that. And I think it's I can certainly explain this experience, and I think some people can get that head knowledge, but going through it, man, it really you really understand what it is, and I empathize with other people who have lost their job, you know, who are out of work and are struggling with their identity. But our identity is not in our job. It is first and foremost in Christ, for those who follow Christ. And secondarily, who we are is not our job. It's not, you know, my profession, my day job is in digital marketing, online marketing, and I work for a company in Austin, Texas called Mr. Reedy. Well, I could easily use that and say, well, I'm a digital marketer. That's who I'm going to stake my flag in the ground there. And there's certainly an element there where I have a lot of passion for that area, and I have a lot of skills that I've developed over the years to get results for online marketing. But, and I can pursue those things, but I have to recognize that first and foremost, my identity is as a son of God, period. Secondly, I've got to recognize the gifts and talents and skills that I have that are broader than just that one job. And for me, that's been a journey that I've been on, and there's been a number of different processes that I've used to help me uncover what drives and energizes me, not just digital marketing, but what are the things that I am energized by that supersede or that are much more broad than any career path. And as I've begun to, and this it's a journey. This is, I know people who are listening may want me to say, well, just go take this program or take this program. I do think certain behavioral assessments are good to take that help you understand more of not just who you are, not just your personality, but what drives and energizes you. One of them I can think of off the top of my head is called the Flag Page, and I don't make any money for recommending the Flag Page, but I think it is one tool. It's very inexpensive. I think it's 10 or 15 bucks, and it takes you like 5 or 10 minutes. And the difference that I like about it is that it gives a person an understanding of what drives and energizes and motivates them, not just their personality. So that's just one test, but I do think there are many things that you can do as you go through your lifetime, as you go through your career, and you begin to understand what are those things that really drive and energize you and are threads through which you can build a career in maybe different industries, different types of jobs over the long term. So that is kind of the theme of my second book, Becoming Generation Flux, how to understand not only yourself, but how to navigate this very challenging world that is in, especially business world, that is in a state of flux seemingly every day.
It is an ongoing struggle, especially in today's society, you know, the way the economy is, you know, it is very, I call it life-threatening situations, especially for men and women as well, you know what I mean? When someone loses their job, there's a stress factor that could come in that can ruin a marriage, it can ruin a relationship, it could cause a heart attack. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of things that can go wrong in there. And as I grow older, I'll be 60 in June, and I know that a lot of that stuff isn't that important anymore. But as a younger man, that was the purpose to get up and go at it. So, Anthony, Miles, we're out of time here, but I'd like for people to be able to contact you, get your books, hire you. Can you give them that information?
Sure. Just go to my website, milesanthonysmith.com. You can check out my books, Why Leadership Sucks, or Becoming Generation Flux. The latter one is a career advice book helping you navigate the challenging, fluctuating environment we find ourselves in our careers. And those books are available on Amazon, Nook, a number of other sources, iTunes, and in audiobook format too on Audible, iTunes, which I'm very happy to offer as well. Many people don't have time to read a book, but they can listen to a book while they're working out or cooking or doing something else. So, and it's narrated by myself, so you can check that out.
We will. And Miles, I'm going to reach out to you to get you on another show that I do called Workshop Wednesdays. It's for entrepreneurs. It's a big entrepreneurial listening base. What you have is great stuff. We haven't even been able to crack the surface on all that you do. So I hope people will go to milesanthonysmith.com, check it out. I hope that they'll just shoot you an email and make connection with you. They can find you on social media as well, but they can go to email@milesanthonysmith.com. So thank you, man, for your time today. We hope that you'll come back and visit with us some more.
Yes, Tony, I'd be happy to. And again, my sincere appreciation for you having me on Tough Talk Radio.
We appreciate you, man. Have a blessed day. Folks, that's our show. We're past the time on our clock, so we're just going to say, everyone have a blessed and safe holiday. We'll see you next week. And big thanks to my guests. We just appreciate Eric Wilson and Miles Anthony Smith for taking time out to share with us here today.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network.